Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's up?
We were just reliving the moment on the live stream yesterday when Pookie knocked
Knocked
Baby
Baby Yoda.
Yoda off, killed Baby Yoda, and then laid down next to him on her back. Like, yeah, I did
Got him.
that
She was chilling out with him. Yeah.
I think she thought she was in trouble because I was
Yeah.
like sitting there going,
She's
"You
trying to
killed
play it
Baby
off. Trying to play it off.
Yoda." Oh my God. Yeah, Tom said we should lift that out of there and like use it as a commercial. Maybe we should. That is pretty fucking funny that she was farting around back there doing that shit. All right. So, if you are one of our patrons, there, I got into it about the thing about Old Boy. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be doing the movie review for it this week, but it disappeared off all the streaming services. So basically, so I ordered a DVD, but I don't think it's gonna get here in time. So we recorded another movie review to have a backup. But then Dominic, one of our patrons, said, "Hey, here's this app called BeFlix, where you can watch it for free." So I'm gonna try that out on the Xbox later, and if we can watch it for free, then we'll do a review of that. So you might get two movie reviews this week. We will eventually do Old Boy if I can't watch it on there, but I just have to wait till the DVD arrives. And I don't think it's coming until Monday. Even though I ordered it and it's like supposedly in Jacksonville, which is only like a couple miles away from, well, a couple miles. It's probably like 50 miles away from here. I could drive up there and get it in the time. It's just about whatever. So yeah, so I'm just saying, might be one movie review, might be two. We'll see how it goes. So this documentary here, we found this last night. We were just like scrolling through shit. And what was it? Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah,
We
it's
were
on
on like
Amazon Prime.
the free to me little thing, and I said, "Hey, it's only 1 hour and 5 minutes and it's about H.H. Holmes."
We did a show on it. Jenny's, she's pretty well versed in it. I'd forgotten a lot about H.H. Holmes. I forgot what I said about him. It was a long time ago we did that show.
Yeah, that was a while back.
But we're watching this documentary, and it was actually a pretty good documentary. It was kind of factual. He kind of stuck to the facts. But it was funny because all it was is what Jenny does, just set to a bunch of damn stock footage that dude
Well, yeah,
used.
the
And I
thing
was like,
about
yeah,
it.
man, you ought to just make your own damn fucking documentaries and sell that shit to fucking Amazon Prime. You
Yeah,
could probably
shit.
you probably have all the video editing stuff to do it.
Yeah, I could do it. Well,
And you
that's the thing. I will say that this, I looked this up.
wonder how much you made on that.
This has a 5% rating on Rotten
They don't
Tomatoes.
like
And
it.
everybody basically said this is the most
Yeah,
amateurish,
amateur
like
cliche.
has like it looks like worse than what high school kids can make. The thing that I don't have a problem with using stock footage for stuff or using stuff, especially something about H.H. Holmes where there's like, a lot of archival like photos and shit, and you have to fill in the shit somehow. But the problem is that all the stock that a lot of the stock footage they used didn't have
Didn't
fuck
have anything
all
to
to do
do.
with anything they were talking about.
Yeah, that was the problem.
I think that was kind of like, and when they had like reenactments of like murders, like, and stuff like that,
It had
it's like
nothing to do
it
with
was
it.
all like modern people. It was so you could tell that they had got it from a
He bought
stock
all this.
footage site
Right.
and just kind of wove it all together. And I will say that a lot of the script too, like when I went back and read like the Wikipedia page for H.H. Holmes, he took a lot of, he just
Right from Wikipedia.
right from Wikipedia. It's like
He probably made 4 or 5 thousand from that,
he's not reading it like directly from
though.
Wikipedia, but I did notice that some of the turns of phrase that he used were right off of the Wikipedia page. So I will say that it's 1 hour and 5 minutes. It seemed much longer, weirdly, because it seemed like the last 10 or 15 minutes of it, he kind of went into
Jack the
the
Ripper.
theory that, H.H. Holmes was Jack the Ripper, which, like I said, I think it's bullshit. He thinks it's bullshit too. There's really no proof of it. H.H. Holmes was demonstrably in the US when some of the murders were taking place in the UK. And also, now this, it did give me some information that I didn't actually know because I hadn't been on the Wikipedia page for a while. But I guess they exhumed H.H. Holmes's body in 2017. Because wasn't there kind of like some rumor about
That he wasn't
how that
there.
he wasn't dead, like he'd faked his own death or some shit like that? I'm like,
No, he was
yeah,
in there.
I mean,
They said he was well preserved too. His mustache was in
they
there.
said mustache. I'm like, of
Yeah, his
course it
clothes and
was.
shit.
His bowler hat. I don't think they buried him in the bowler hat. But yeah, so I will just say that right from the thing. So I wouldn't recommend. I mean, H.H. Holmes is a fascinating dude, and there's like all kind of really good books and shit about it. I'm probably Devil in White City is the best one. Oh, but the one by what's that dude's name? Harold Schechter. What the fuck is the name of that book?
I
I
don't
just
know.
read it not too long ago, but it was America's First Series. No, it was called Depraved. That's what it was called. I knew I'd remember. That book is also excellent. This, like I said, this just seemed like I don't want to shit on the dude too much. What's the dude's name? Philip Gardner.
Yeah.
And he wrote and directed it.
I enjoyed it.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I understood what it was. I understood what I was seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I had some kind of problem. It just looked really, really cheap and really, really... I wish that he would have tried harder to make the stock footage at least fit what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And he reused a lot of stuff. And I will say, too, that you could tell, particularly when it got toward the end, he kept, like, repeating himself or saying the same thing, like, in different ways. You could tell he was trying to, like, pad it out to an hour.
Yeah.
Because he just kept, like, repeating...
He was trying to pad it out without making it sound like commentary. But...
Yeah.
I'll give him this. This is the kind of thing... We didn't have to pay for it to see it. It was the kind of thing where you'd sit back... You could sit back and just listen to it like an audio book.
Which I would recommend. Yeah. Because the... Like I said...
Watching it is...
The video clips don't have anything to do with what he's talking about.
Doesn't really have anything
pretty
to do
much.
With it.
Pretty much. Nothing.
And, he's just trying to set a tone. You know? You could tell, you know, it didn't cost anything to make. His voice, his narration is good, though. And,
British guy.
Yeah, and his... The content is factual. You know, it is true what he's saying. And I like the fact that he tried to divide fact from fiction, because there's a lot of mythic elements to H.H. Holmes. It's been a long time since we did the show. I remembered walking away from the Holmes case as kind of disappointed that he wasn't quite what he was cracked up to be. A lot of what I had believed about him prior to doing the show, like he'd killed 200-something people and that was a functioning hotel. A lot of that wasn't true.
No, it was exaggerated.
Yeah, very exaggerated. And I think even the murder castle, the way I pictured it, was kind of exaggerated. I mean, he did have some gas pipes that went to certain rooms that he could control from his room. There were some chutes that would go down to the basement. There was stuff like...
Handy.
There was stuff that was like racks, like torture-type racks. But from what I remember of the case, he doesn't mention it in this one, but from what I remember of the case, there was no evidence that stuff was ever used.
I think he mentioned it. Well, I think he mentioned it in this documentary in the sense that, I don't know, I think that torture stuff in there, I think that was a later extrapolation. Yeah. The thing about it, though, is that I think a lot of H.H. Holmes, and I'm not saying that H.H. Holmes wasn't a serial killer, he was.
Yeah.
But much like Henry Lee Lucas, if that's not too weird a comparison to make, he really kind of fed into his own legend, because a lot of the myth that surrounds him came from his own mouth, like his confessions.
Yeah.
Because some of the newspapers back then paid him like $7,500, which was a shit ton of money back then, for his story and like all this. And they knew that some of it at least was bullshit, because he confessed to killing 27 people, and then like some of those people they found out were still alive.
Yeah.
And like some of the people that he was rumored to have killed were also still alive, and it's like they have records of them dying like at old age, like many years later.
He was more like a con man.
Yeah.
And a black widow. He would kill a lot of wives.
A black widower.
Black widower. He would kill his wives, and con men seem to do that. There were several cases from the 1800s where guys were doing that for insurance money. Remember that?
Yeah, there were some women doing that, too.
There were women doing it, and there were guys doing it, because you could get away with it easier back then. So he was one of those. Now, some two little boys disappeared, They were hanging out with him, and they just, where'd they go? And he says, oh, they went back to their parents' house. Nobody knows what happened to them, but nobody knows who they were. They might be alive. They might have lived. You don't know. It's just a lot of... He lied a lot. And he never said that he killed those boys. But he admitted to killing a whole bunch of people that he didn't kill.
Yeah.
And he was selling skeletons that came from mysterious places. I think those were some of the ex-wives. Or the wives.
Yeah, and like I said, it's perfectly possible. Because some of the stuff about the murder castle, like the stuff about... you know, like I said, the chutes, and they did find like an oven in there that was like
crematorium.
There was like a crematorium in the bottom. So obviously he was up to some nefarious shit in there. But
there was a real deep pit that had a bunch of lye in it, and they never did figure out what was in down in there.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't have the technology back then to go down in a real deep pit and try to find out. I guess they figured it would all be dissolved anyway. And they weren't Nowadays, they'd go down there and try to get as much as they could. But back in the 1800s, like, oh, fuck it, just cover it up. There's a bunch down in there. That's just the thinking of the time.
It's a bunch. It's too hard.
I ain't going down there.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, too dangerous.
Our lives are rough enough as it is. I'm not just gonna... That's the way they were. Well, it's just funny to think that, you know, the forensic technology that we have now, you know, as flawed as it is, it's like back then they didn't even have that. It's like they didn't even really have fingerprinting until the late 19th century. That wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's pretty much...
There was no fingerprint database either.
So. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like, well, if you wanted to get caught for a crime, they basically had to see you do it. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or you had to have enough witnesses come forward and said you did it. And then they'd be like, yeah, I suppose you did, whether you did or not. Maybe it's just a bunch of people that don't like you.
Because you could frame somebody easily.
Yeah, big time.
Too. You know, it went both ways. Justice was real... It was even less reliable than it is today in the United States. And I would say justice is unreliable in the United States. If you're being tried, you're going to be found guilty about 90% of the time. Over that.
Well, I think people
and
have...
mostly because you're guilty.
People have... Well, but I mean, also, people have a tendency, too, that if you got arrested...
Then you did something
then
wrong.
You must have done something.
Most of it's pretty open and closed, though.
Yeah.
They're on video.
Yeah.
Or they had a lot of witnesses and that, you know, that was his weapon. And
the thing about it, and like I talked about this before, because this was something that I kind of brought up when I was writing my Faceless Villain books, is that a lot has been made of the fact that, you know, in, I think up to like 1967 or something like that, you know, the rate of conviction for murders was much, much higher than it is nowadays.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, why are people getting away with stuff nowadays? Like, you know, when the forensics are so much better. But I don't know if that's necessarily what that says. I think it means that prior to the forensics being good, a lot more innocent people got put in jail.
Right.
So it's like that they said, you know, they just got a conviction. That doesn't mean that that person actually did it.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of times...
They couldn't exclude him from the case or, you know...
Right.
So therefore, he might have done it. So he did it.
That's what I mean. So it's like, so I kind of feel like, you know, it sounds bad when you say it. It's like, oh, there's a lot less, you know, we don't solve as many murders. There aren't as many convictions nowadays as there were back then. But I think in some ways, I don't know if that's the case, but I suspect that it's because a lot more innocent people, because it was easier to like jail somebody for, because like I said, they couldn't do DNA or anything like that. They were just kind of like, well, all these people said they saw you do it. So I guess you did it. Bye.
A lot of the problems in the U.S. court system though isn't so much the trial or the evidentiary parts of the cases, it's sentencing. The judge's hands are kind of tied. He can't give a sentence that fits the fucking crime. A lot of times he has mandatory minimums he has to do, which that can be pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't really think this is, you know, judge might be in a situation where I don't really think, you know, this is what it's made out to be, but it did occur with a firearm, and that's a minimum of 10 years, so you're going to get 10 years. You know, I'd like to give you 2 years, but no, I got to give you 10. Shit like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, it is kind of stupid, because some people get, like, ridiculously long sentences for something that's, like, kind not even... Yeah, that's, like, not even a violent crime, for example, which I think is dumb. It's, you know, if no violence is committed in the course of the crime, I think they should like go a lot easier on you so they can have a lot more room for people that do horrible shit. But the thing about it is that H.H. Holmes, one, I kind of like I said, this documentary is not a great documentary. It's very, very cheap. You know, like I said, the narration is fine. It's factual.
It was entertaining. It was factual.
Yeah, it was fine to watch. Seemed a little, like I said, it was only like an hour long, but it seemed much longer, I guess, because it kind of repeated itself.
I looked at it like a podcast.
Yeah, I suppose.
A podcast with a visual element.
It's probably better to just listen to it. Like
just listen to it. Yeah, like a little audiobook.
Yeah, don't watch the visuals because, like I said, half the people, more than half the time, like 80% of the time, it doesn't have anything to do with what they're talking about. It's just some random fucking, hey, we have some stock footage of an old city from the 19th century.
That was the best part, though.
That was kind of cool. Or like we had like this old silent movie, like an old like comedy or something, and they put it in there. We'll put that in there. It's like it didn't have anything to do with anything.
Nothing to do with it.
But it,
they did have a good footage. Somebody was filming from a, I guess it was a primitive automobile, and I don't know what city it was, but the fucking main street was super wide, with buildings that are now long gone. You look at them, it almost looks like ancient Rome. And you had horse-drawn carriages, and it was quite kind of long. And then you'd look and you go, hey, man, that's a car. And there'd be a little putt-putt car next to it. And what was struck me is that, I didn't realize it, but those, I guess it was a Model A. It might have been Model A's. They were going the same speed as the horse-drawn carriages.
Yeah.
And no rules to the road. They're just going
over. They're just all over the place. Yeah. So people walking in front, horse walking in front.
So the very early cars went the same speed as a horse-drawn carriage, or the horse is just trotting. So it's just like, damn, I didn't realize that they were that slow. But yeah, I guess they were.
Yeah, it's like, what's the fucking point of it?
25 might have been the top speed. Well, it was a horse's carriage is what the thinking was.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be faster than a carriage.
And you only,
where could you go?
Yeah.
You'd just be running into horses all day. So it's just a horse's carriage.
Yeah, maybe it was just like, hey, it's a car where you don't have to clean up horse poop after, just, and you don't have to feed it any hay. Yeah,
put some of this newfangled stuff called gasoline in there, and then
you
just goes.
Wow!
Yeah, it may have been electric. Some of those early cars were electric.
I think they were,
A lot of people don't know that. The electric and the internal combustion cars, first generation, were about neck and neck. It was just that gasoline won out over time because you didn't have to, it didn't take time to charge. You just put fluid in it.
Yeah.
It was ready to go.
Which, you know, everybody wants that, like...
It was instant gratification.
Instant gratification, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. They didn't burn much fuel. They were pretty fuel efficient.
Yeah.
They didn't make much power either. But they didn't have to. And they never broke. They weren't running under any damn stress.
Well, and back in those days, too, it's not like they had fucking interstate highways. Mm. So it's kind of like you just had to put
along, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's faster than walking.
Yeah, faster than walking. You didn't have to worry about horses.
Faster than a bike. Well, I don't know if it was faster than a bicycle.
No, they had bicycles in there with them. They were going the same speed. That was a trip.
Probably like the same.
I didn't really realize that it was that. And I was watching it, and it was kind of amazing because it wasn't that far removed from ancient Roman technology.
Yeah.
Only thing that was removed from ancient Rome was that internal combustion car, but it really wasn't that much better than that horse-drawn carriage when you looked at it.
True.
About the same. I think Romans had probably tripped over that bicycle, though. They didn't have bicycles. They would have thought that was fucking great. That was a horse you didn't have to feed.
Yeah.
A man-powered horse.
I have often said that in the event of a zombie apocalypse, I think a bicycle would be... A bicycle and a sword.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't need no gas. Don't need no ammo.
Like a variable gear.
That's what I'm doing.
Like BMX type bike or a mountain type bike.
Yeah.
Saddlebags on it. You can carry guns. In your kit. Yeah.
Like
basically, you can put your backpack on it. I'll be up on a handlebar.
And a sword holster. Fucking sword. They don't call that a holster. What do they call that? A sword scabbard? Is that what it's called? Yeah. I knew that was a start with an S. But yeah, so the thing about H.H. Holmes, like I said, I like that he kind of went into the whole Jack the Ripper thing, because I only heard, I guess that was kind of a thing like a few years back. And I think it was like, wasn't it fucking H.H. Holmes's great, great, great grandson or some shit like that? Because he had a couple kids and they ended up pretty normal because he had a bunch of wives that he was married to like at the same time. I think he had three of them at the same time, but I don't know if any of them knew about each other or if he'd killed some of them, or I don't know. They haven't figured that out. But I think that his great-great-grandson or his great-great-great-grandson got the idea that, he popped over to the UK to do the fucking Jack the Ripper killings. And I don't know. It seemed like that was kind of a thing where they just wanted to sell some books because, you know, Jack the Ripper...
Ripper killings were nothing like a Holmes killing. They're not the same MO.
Holmes seemed more an opportunistic kind of... He was more of a con man type of dude. Yeah. Like I said, he wanted to... When he killed somebody, he wanted to get something out of it. Like, he wanted to do, like, insurance fraud, or he wanted to sell their skeleton, or both. You know, he even tried to, like, fake his own death, didn't he?
Yeah.
To, like, get...
And what's weird is that, you know, he killed little kids when little kids became inconvenient.
Yeah.
He gassed three of them in the chest. And there's no evidence or even any insinuation that he kept them for sex or anything. There didn't seem to be any indication that he had a problem getting girlfriends. So sex wasn't the motive there. I don't think there was a sexual motive with Holmes.
It really doesn't seem like it. He just seems a more...
Just a psychopath, sociopathic dude that needed money. And he gives about money more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, because when he was building the murder castle, I mean, one of his things was that he would have all these, like, contractors in there to build shit, and then he would just, like, not pay them.
Yeah. And he was a pathological liar, which,
yeah,
which
that means, too.
Which leads me away from kind of like the sexual psychopath to more than just a fucking sociopath. Pathological liar, thief. And he killed women and children and men.
And men too. He just killed whoever.
When they became inconvenient or when there was an opportunity to make money. So there's no sexuality in any of this, which leads me to believe there probably wasn't any torture either. Because usually when a serial killer is sexually motivated, that's when the torture comes in.
Well, yeah, because they want to see the fear and they want to see the pain on the other person because they get off on it. H.H. Holmes just mostly seemed like he was a very, I know this is going to sound fucked up, but he was a very practical killer. He was just trying to get you out of the way. And he wanted like your insurance money or he wanted your skeleton, but with little fuss.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm just going to like take their money and I'm just going to dump them in this oven and nobody's going to like ever hear from him.
And he had those little girls and he didn't torture them or rape them, which a real serial killer probably would have. So I just don't think that there was, he wasn't the sadistic type of serial killer that he was, that they wanted to portray him as. Like, he had things that they called torture racks, evidently, in the media. But I remember hearing that there was no evidence that any of that shit was used and that they weren't really torture racks. They were more like things that they used to use back then to straighten out spines and to be like a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And he was a doctor, so he might have had something like that.
I mean, maybe it was just kind of like morgue tables. That's like how he used to
you know, keep them straight and do things.
And shit like that. Because like I said, he was real big on like selling people skeletons to medical schools.
So he might have been turning people into anatomical skeletons for sale.
That's
and they might have misunderstood what it was that they were seeing. It might have been the equipment that he was using to process bodies, turn them into these
because everything seemed kind of geared toward that
just
end.
Getting something done,
like Oracle saying, a very goal-oriented killer. It's just kind of like in a lot of ways, and I know this is weird, I might have brought this up on another one, but what this is something that you see with a lot of female serial killers, particularly poisoners. They either do it because of like Munchausen syndrome or some shit like that, or they do it for this reason where it's just kind of like they want insurance money and they're just trying to get you out of the way, you know, like Belle Gunness did, something like that, where she was just like putting, you know, ads in the paper for like, hey, I need a husband and I have all this land and stuff. And they would come out there and she'd whack him in the head and bury him on the fucking thing. Yeah. And she would, you know, take their money. And it seems like he's more that type of dude.
Yeah. Now they would say that he had the house all made up like a maze and all these fucking, he did have some weird shit going on, like rooms that you could lock people into, like cells, and they had gas pipes that went to them. But that might have also just been part of his processing scam. You check somebody, and it didn't seem, evidently this stuff had not really been used because it was never open to the public.
Yeah, because it was three stories, right?
You're right.
The first story was like was shops, like a pharmacy and shit. And then the second story was like apartments or some kind of living. And then the hotel Bart was on the third floor, but I don't think it was ever open to the public or even like completely finished.
So I think he had this plan where once he had it open to the public, he could take select people where he needed the skeletons and assign them into a room and then lock them into that room. All right. When he checked him in, and then go over to his room and turn the gas on and gas him.
Yeah.
So he,
because he did have that. Yeah. He had like a panel where he could like gas rooms it.
Well, that kind of infers that he's not into fucking combat. He's not turned on by fighting these people. He's not turned on by torturing them or raping them. It's a process. He just walked him into that room and locked him. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? You know, they're unpacking their shit.
Yeah, it was just like a weird industrial
slaughterhouse.
Why is there
no rooms in here? You know what I mean? And fucking, he's going over there turning the gas on.
Yeah.
That's the sign of a dude who doesn't want any damn trouble.
Yeah. All right. He just wants the end goal. Like I said, he just wants the body. Yeah. Either because he wants the insurance money or he wants to sell your skeleton.
Right.
Which I'm not saying that makes it better.
That story doesn't sell as well, though.
I mean, you know, it is a lurid.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty horrifying that, like, some crazy motherfucker would construct an entire thing with that kind of shit in it. That's scary enough.
What the newspapers were trying to sell was the idea that he would lure beautiful young women onto that floor and chase them around in a maze-like warrens and then lock them in there and eventually gas them. But that doesn't seem like what he was doing.
No.
It was a lot more simple than that, the real processing them. It's weird that he had to go into several rooms. That way he could keep them going. He could get several families at once.
Which, yeah, that's pretty
cool. Or take out a whole family if he wanted to. Well, that wouldn't have cost anything. It's just pipes and valves.
Yeah.
You know.
And he did have a thing where he would hire, like, certain contractors to do one part, and then, like, he didn't want anybody to see the entire plans, obviously, because it was, like,
real... Well, this is in the time of gas lamps, though, so that was normal.
That's true. To run gas. It wouldn't have been super weird.
It's just that you didn't have a fixture there or whatever.
Ken said, do you think he made lye soap with the corpse fat? You know what? That seems like something he would probably... Well, it seems like he wouldn't want to waste any of it, you know what I mean? Because, like, if he wants to sell the skeleton, you might as well make shit with the rest of the body, too. It's like fucking... You know?
Yeah.
It seems like soap would be the easiest thing. It's like, because I was thinking, oh, you could make, like, leather shit with the skin, but that seems like too much trouble.
Based on what...
Soap's pretty easy to make,
though. Based on what I remember, though, he was making a lot of money just by ordering things on credit and reselling them and then not
paying for it. Yeah, he did that kind of shit, too.
Or he would rent things and sell them. You'd rent it under a false ID and then sell them.
Yeah. Yeah, he got in trouble for that.
He wasn't into... nickel and dime shit, like, let's make some soap. That probably wouldn't have been enough money. He liked to make thousands at once.
Yeah.
You know, so he was going for big scores. I think the selling of the skeletons made sense because, one, you could get rid of somebody. Two, the skeleton was worth quite a bit back then for the medical
And industry. If you took out an insurance policy on that person, that it was like two paydays.
Right.
You could, you know, get the money from their skeleton and you get the money from
and
the life
And you're
insurance.
Disposing of the body all in one thing.
It's win-win-win. It's
win-win-win-win. You're disposing the body afterwards instead of burying it. You collect on it and then you don't bury it. You turn it into a skeleton, sell it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so you're profiting it off of the fucking evidence too.
Yeah, he was working all the angles,
He's working all these different angles.
Kevin Donovan said, read the book The Devil in White City. It is very, very good. I do recommend it. And like I said, there was another one by Harold Schechter called Depraved, which is also very good. Although I kind of feel, I haven't read it in a while, but I kind of feel like that leaned more into like the whole Murder Castle, like the myth about it, which, like I said, I think a lot of that's kind of been debunked. He did have that, but it wasn't quite as lurid as it seemed.
I think it was like Bell Gunness.
Yeah,
a dude like that. Isn't how you say her name?
Yeah,
I think he was a guy. He was a guy that was kind of like that.
Yeah, she was just like I said. Female serial killers,
like a female serial
tend
killer.
To be very practical in the sense that they're not. It's not a sexual motive. It's not anything like that. That's very vanishingly rare. Most of the time, when women kill a bunch of motherfuckers, it's because she wants the money.
Yeah, and what's weird is that I had the feeling he kept showing up these boys. And then the boys would vanish. That happened twice. And it was enough to where people asked him about it. And he disappeared. I have a feeling that he may have been gay. Okay. And he just saw women as a means to getting money. You know?
Yeah, that's possible.
He might have had kind of a personality a little bit more female. So when he became a serial killer, he was more like a female serial killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The motive and the style is similar.
It's weird though. I do kind of feel like you saw more of these sort of practical serial killers, both male and female, in like the late 19th century. Yeah. Because there were a lot of like, you know, women poisoners, or a lot of dude poisoners that were just like poisoning wives and friends and
doing that kind of
fraud. Well, it's like, I guess back then it was like super easy to just, you know, give a fake name on something and everybody's like, suppose so. But also you could take out life insurance on other people without them knowing about it. And then you could just like bump them off and be like, oh my goodness.
Well, I think he was, I kind of think he was gay. And so it really didn't mean anything to him as a psychopathic serial killer to marry a woman with the intent of taking an insurance claim out on her. Wouldn't surprise me if the female black widows that were doing that were also lesbian. I mean, what do they want a man for? You know, they don't want a man. You know what I mean?
They want a man so they could kill him.
They just wanted the money. They were crazy, too.
Well, yeah, like I said, I don't like it. Well, obviously,
yeah.
Like I said, I don't even know.
I don't think
like,
there's any kind of emotional attachment there.
Well, yeah, and I don't even think like sexuality probably right. played into it. Like I said, yeah. when you're talking about serial killers, most people think of ones with like sexual motives.
Yeah, he did have a wife and a kid from his very first.
He had a couple of kids.
But he ran from that.
Yeah.
Which tells me he wasn't happy with that situation.
He was just always moving around, changing his name.
I think it was just society of the time. He was expected to get married and have kids, so he did that.
Yeah. Because
he was expected to, but he wasn't happy with that.
He was
I think he was gay. And then, but he was also a serial killer, you know.
Yeah.
And then he goes fucking running off messing with these boys. Because I guess he thought the boys wouldn't tell on him. And I think he may have killed them, or might have let them go, you know. Which would take it to kind of like Albert Fish. He was into boys, too. But he was into anything, though.
Albert Fish is like
he's
the,
into
the grossest motherfucker
yeah,
alive.
Gross motherfucker.
We did a show about him,
yeah.
didn't we? Holy shit.
But I think it was just... I think the boys were just like targets of opportunity. But I think that's where his sexuality was really lay.
Yeah.
Boys, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Donovan said after he left Chicago, he moved to Fort Worth and built another murder castle. I knew that he went to Fort Worth, but I didn't know that he'd actually completed another castle down there. Because they just kind of skimmed over it in the documentary. So I was under the impression that he hadn't finished it, but maybe he did.
Yeah.
But like I said, it, you know, so the thing about it was that, so they finally caught him. The thing about it is that he was only convicted of what? Like one murder, right? Benjamin Peitzel. That was like the dude or, you know, however you pronounce his last name, who was his partner. Because I love this. So him and his partner, they're doing all this insurance fraud. And then he's like, hey, Ben, I have this really great idea. Take out a life insurance policy on you. And then I'm going to fake your death. Except he's like, psych, I'm actually really going to kill you. So he did.
He was gay. He doesn't look really happy in those pictures. Gay may not
Nobody looked happy in those
gay
pictures.
Gay may not be the right word
for You couldn't him. Smile for that long while the shutter was open.
Yeah. Gay may not be the right word for it. It might just be pedo. I think he was into boys, little boys. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Although, I don't think he was into little girls because he didn't keep them. He killed them.
He put them in a fucking trunk and gassed them, like
right.
two of them. And like I said, I think he just did that because they were in the way.
Yeah, but a sexually motivated serial killer of his means, because he did have means, you know what I mean? He had enough money, would have kept those girls for a lot longer. Think about it.
Yeah.
That's you know what true. I mean, the only reason why they kill him is to silence them so they can move on. They don't have anywhere to put them, you know? But he had a place to put them. He could have kept them up there in that castle.
Yeah, no one would have liked it. Because he had all kind
of
like
he had all kinds
rooms
of
and credit. Shit like that.
And he would have talked them into working for him or something. He turned them into little slaves and stuff. But he wasn't interested in them.
Yeah, it really didn't. You know, nothing I've read about him implies that he was any way sexually motivated on any of it. It was just kind of like everything was just very prosaic,
right.
I guess, if you want to, if that's not a horrible
thing to say. If Ted Bundy had the means and came across those three little girls, he'd have kept them. But he didn't have the means to keep them. He was too poor.
Yeah.
In order to put them. But you know what I mean? You got to look at it in that context.
Ted Bundy, you'll just keep your severed head.
Yeah. Because Ted Bundy went for little girls when he could. When he got them. I think the youngest one he had, I think it was 12. So but it was just like a target of opportunity. Yeah. If you'd have given him three little girls, he'd have kept them.
Yep, probably.
Yeah.
One thing that makes me happy every time I hear about H.H. Holmes, like I said, there was some rumors that he had like faked his death and shit like that. Because like I said, he had done it before for insurance fraud, but they're like, no, they really did hang him. I love that when they hanged him, the rope didn't break his neck and he just like hung there and strangled for like 15 minutes. And I was like, good, serves you right, motherfucker. But yeah, so he only got convicted of one murder, even though they're pretty sure like... Well, they knew that he killed those two little girls because they found their bodies, right? And then they found another little boy that he had killed. He killed him and like chopped him up and stuffed him up in a chimney or something, and they found that body. But I guess they didn't have enough proof.
Dario brings up a good point. Said, fucking Holmes may have had a glory hole up in the castle. Think of that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Holmes' glory hole.
My God. I'm amazed that somebody.
You guys pull up some stupid shit, man.
I mean, somebody somewhere. Please correct me if I'm. I mean, this seems like a golden opportunity. Why nobody has opened like a haunted house type attraction that is modeled after Holmes's murder castle? You know what I mean?
You'd have to walk through it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The problem is you don't want the public walking through something like that. It'd take them forever to get through it. They like to be in those little doom buggies where it's like a 3-minute experience. You're in, you're the fuck out of there trying to get the.
Well, yeah, you know, like the Haunted Mansion at Disney was originally conceived as a walkthrough attraction.
Yeah, they can't walk through.
And for that reason,
they start hanging out in there.
Yeah, they said it would take like forever. Yeah. Forever, because everybody would be like dicking around, you know. It's like, ooh, let's go in here and let's go in
there. I'm just going to wait here and have a cigarette.
And then they'd fart around in there all day.
That's what would happen.
So they were like, yeah, we need some way to like, so it took them like a really long time to like figure out like how to get people through. It was going to be boats originally. It was supposed to be like a flooded house.
The closest thing I've ever been in that was like what you're talking about was in Magic Mountain in California. It was called the Magic Pagoda. And it was right next to where the Chinese restaurant was in a big food court. And you walked in, there's a giant Buddha and his fucking face is talking. He's saying, welcome to the fucking Magic Pagoda. And it was fucking spooky. And then you went through, and it was like a fun house. You had a maze
of mirrors. Yeah, we had one of those here.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. A maze of mirrors, and then rooms that had strobe lights with a big old Chinese fucking paper dragon going around the ceiling. And it was pretty cool.
That's rad. I'd have been all about
that. Yeah, and then you look down, and you see like little miniature cities. Like you had to walk over a little, like a Chinese little bridge. You know those little bridges?
And I
think... and you walked over the little Chinese bridge, and they had like a miniaturized city with little cars and lights and everything. That's how I remember it. It's been a long time.
We had one like that here in Orlando. Yeah. What the fuck was the name of it? It was shit, man. I know it had something to do with wizards because it was like a really big wizard like on the front.
Yeah.
And it was kind of more... It was like that, but it was more scary. You know what I mean? Like it was more like a haunted house, but you walked through it. There was kind of the thing where you walk through with like the rotating room. And, you know, I remember one where you walk through this hallway and like the floor would light up and there was like a scary face under there and like shit would pop out at you and whatnot. Mm-hmm. God damn it. Why can't I remember the name of that place? It's not there anymore. And I think like in downtown Orlando for a long time, this is probably going back fucking 15 or 20 years. They did have like a haunted house attraction. Like a, you know, just like one of the ones they would have at Universal, like at Halloween, like Halloween Horror Nights. They'd have a house like that, except it was there all the time. I never went to it, though.
Yeah.
But I think it was supposed to be like a torture dungeon or something like that. I don't think it's there
anymore. You could walk through the Magic Pagoda and in Magic Mountain, but that's because it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people wouldn't hang out.
And they knew that people wouldn't just be like hanging around in there.
And they ended up tearing it down.
Yeah.
You put something else there.
Well, yeah, and I can totally see why. And like I said, back when they were working on the Haunted Mansion, like for Disneyland and Disney World, they immediately saw that problem. They were like, because they wanted it to be walkthrough too, but then they were like, yeah, no, we're not just going to let people like dick around in there all day because it would take forever. Like, and the lines would back up.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They, you know, what they were going to do at first, they were going to have people walk through, but then they were going to build two exactly the same. Like
to speed it up
inside to speed it up. So like you could go through half. It was going to be inside the same house. So you didn't actually know that there were two sides that were just the same, but they were going to, and then finally they were just like, fuck it. That's not going to work. We have to like get people moving through there.
I thought it was a trip that there's more than one stretch room elevators, that there's several of them.
See, I never knew that either until I like read that book about it. I'm like, and they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
I've been on that ride. Somebody like the Disney World one. I've been on that so many times and I never fucking noticed that there were two of them.
How many of them are there? Two. Okay.
There are two.
All
right. In both, as far as I know, I bought another book about the history of the Haunted Mansion, but I haven't got to read it yet. I'm fascinated.
Louis
by that
barely remembers the Magic Pagoda. Magic Pagoda. It looked 80s as shit. It was kind of cool. It was like Chinese fake 80s. Bunch of neon shit. It was red.
See, that would have been right up my alley.
It looked like a Chinese restaurant on acid.
See, that would have been right up my alley.
Yeah, it was like Funhouse.
That's one of my that's one of my aesthetics. I like that kind of shit.
And you just go through the glass and you go through the maze of mirrors and all of a sudden one of the mirrors would light up and you could see through it. It was like a two-way mirror. And behind it would be like a big monster going, rah! It looked like the fucking Mugatu from fucking Star Trek or some shit like that.
Oh my God.
Remember the Mugatu?
Was that the white one with the horn?
The white one with the horn, yeah. It looked like shit like that. And like, whoa.
So he looked like Bumble from the reindeer.
It wasn't a Mugatu. It was like a Buddha fighting with a giant...
The Gorn?
With a giant fucking snake that had a human head on it.
Okay, well...
Like something from Thailand or something.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of scary. I think it had a human head on it, on the end of the snake.
Thailand's got some, like, scary fucking legends.
It's like a Thailand thing.
It's like, hey, I'm a witch and my head pops off during the night with all the fucking entrails dragging down and it comes after
you. I think it was a Buddha fighting it.
That's fucked up.
I think it was a Buddha fight, and it's been so long, man. I don't forget. It was cheap, you know. It was big, but it was like
Buddha versus human head snake. The next sci-fi original film. Yeah.
Buddha versus big head snake. Yeah,
big head snake and the
make
Buddha.
A whole fucking movie based on that shit.
Well, yeah, we need to do that. Yeah. Shit. We'll look
Buddha shows up, but it's
look on Tubi later and it'll already be there.
it's the kaiju.
Yeah,
it's the kaiju, you know what I mean? Fucking Rodan shows up.
Why not?
Monster Zero shows up.
Why not? Yeah. Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, let's
throw all the shit in there.
Yeah. And Buddha.
And
Buddha's the same size. Buddha's the same size as them all.
Be like Big Man Japan.
Yeah, he fights alongside Ultraman. Yeah.
And Jet Jaguar.
Yeah, Jet Jaguar. Exactly. You got it.
See, now I want to see this movie. We didn't make it. All right, we done talking about this?
Yeah.
All right. So like I said, this is on Amazon Prime. It's on Tubi. It's free. Like I said, the narration's good, but just don't pay attention to the visuals because it's pretty cheap. Like I said, I could probably do better for $100, but you know, I don't want to be too much of an asshole.
He thinks it had a dragon. Yeah, it did have a dragon. It had a Chinese dragon that went around on the ceiling on a track in a room that had a big strobe light. People out there strobing. You can tell some of the kids were on acid, going to Magic Mountain on acid. They'd be in the strobe.
Well, yeah.
Strobe light. This is back in the day when a strobe light would trip people out.
Whoa.
And then it had a Chinese paper dragon. It was like one that, you know, the guys would wear in the parades. It was like that. You know, just going around on the ceiling.
That's cool. See, I've been all into that. Yeah. Like I said, I love all that real, like, that old, like, China, like 70s, 80s Chinese restaurant aesthetic.
Yeah, so it was like...
I mean, I like that almost as much as I like old Western whorehouse aesthetic. Yeah. I also like that as well.
Right. They probably tore that shit down because they said that shit was culturally insensitive because they had fucking Buddha fucking talking and fucking shit like... Although there were many Buddhas. Buddha just means wise man. They, you know, Buddhism had a lot of
Buddhas.
Well,
they probably tore it down because nobody went there anymore because it was just old.
I'm just saying, I don't think they'd do it today. It wasn't that impressive.
I mean, look at the shit they have. Right, look at the shit they have now. That's why the one that we had, which was just like a wizard and whatnot, you know, that closed years and years ago just because it was cool when you were a kid. But it's like after they opened like big theme parks and shit like that, nobody went to it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. So that'll do it for this today, right? You didn't have anything else you had to talk about? Okay. So it's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So tomorrow night's party stream.
Yeah, that's right.
Wednesday night. We don't know what we're going to talk about. Something.
Got to get ready for that shit.
Yeah, you gotta start getting ready for it now. You got 24 hours. Like, psych yourself up for it.
Yeah, getting ready for it.
It'll be all right. Just get some sleep. And
we got to make sure we have the right kind of booze.
We got to make sure we got the booze correct and all that other kind of stuff. We'll have to run the party lights and hope it doesn't crash the stream.
We may have to say fuck the party lights.
We may have to say fuck the party lights.
Because you notice it hasn't done it since I stopped that.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
It may have been.
I mean, that's like an easy problem to solve.
Yeah.
All right. So we will see you guys tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time talking about whatever it is we're going to talk about. And thanks, everybody, for dropping by, as always. See you later. Bye.